Well, your resume is impressive, but what would you say is your greatest weakness?
I daydream constantly about living by the water. The warm sun.
Oh.
In a dynamic city with amazing food and craft breweries, weekend events.
Okay.
With tons of jobs, less stress, awesomely affordable neighborhoods.
It sounds glorious.
Stop daydreaming and get to Tampa Bay for high-wage jobs in finance, tech, and more. All under the warm Florida sun. Find Florida's most bright opportunities at makeittampabay.com.
This is Denny Somach, host of The Rock Podcast. I'm a producer, author, and rock historian, and I want to share with you some of the greatest stories in rock and roll.
Well, Bonzo was the best hard rock drummer ever, hands down. I mean, no one comes within a mile of him.
I saw the Beatles on Ed Sullivan. John Lennon had this wise guy look on his face, just like me and my friends were just a bunch of wise guys, street kids.
The first guitar I ever had was Spanish guitar, and I couldn't really get the hang of it. I was only 13.
I had never written a song before, actually, and so Jim says, okay, everybody go home and write some songs, you know. And so I went home and wrote Light My Fire.
Join me for The Rock Podcast, the only podcast that matters, from Podcast One or wherever you get yours.
Hey, Shift and Steer, pal. We're here. And this pal thing is picking up, man. It's gaining steam. It's yeah, it's growing. It's like the little train that went up the hill, man. It's happening, pal. So, but first, Matt's got to tell you who helps us do this show.
Yeah, a word from our friends at Geico. You know, you guys, you own your home or you rent your home. And either way, it can be a lot of work. But of course, you know what's easy. It's bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. And we all know that's a good thing because you have so much to do around your home already. So just go to geico.com and get a quote and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today.
Shift and Steer, racing, rides, people, and places. With your hosts, Brad Banjor, Matt DeAndrea, and Aaron Hagar. New media for a new type of motorsport enthusiast.
Hey guys, we're going to have a great show today because Matt and I went over to Scottsdale and attended the big BJ, the Barrett Jackson auction
whoa,
in Scottsdale.
Hey, whoa.
And then
you had one of those 18 inchers.
We had Aaron stay home. He volunteered to be the guy who stayed home, watched it on TV because we wanted both perspectives. That's the only reason he stayed home. It wasn't that he was snowed in Tahoe again. And you know what? We're going to put a shine on the show today because we have a new sponsor. And you know what, Matt? Why don't you tell them all about it?
Yeah, you know, we would like to welcome our friends at Meguiar's. You know, car waxes have come a long way over the years. And as you know, Meguiar's has launched a new generation of protective products with their hybrid ceramic. It's specifically geared toward DIYers. It all started 2 years ago when Meguiar's introduced their hybrid ceramic spray wax. This is the one that's in the bright blue bottle. It's got their advanced SiO2 hybrid technology that delivers a ceramic wax protection and durability beyond just traditional wax. This is a fantastic new product. There's no rubbing, no curing, buffing, or mess. It goes on easy and it provides an extreme water beating action. And you know that last year, knowing that some prefer a more traditional application, Meguiar's launched their liquid version, the Meguiar's Hybrid Ceramic Liquid Wax. This also is a long-lasting ceramic protection, and it's easy to use just like a normal wax. It seals the paint for long-lasting protection against the elements, and of course, it delivers that water-beating action that we mentioned before. And most recently, Meguiar's launched their Hybrid Ceramic Spray Detailer. This is perfect for in between your waxing when you really kind of want to get that boosted kind of maintenance application, get the removes contaminants like dust and fingerprints and bird droppings. It really boosts the shine. It also has that same SiO2 ceramic protection that you guys will absolutely love. So Meguiar's, they have this huge line of products now. They've also got this ceramic, Meguiar's new ceramic. It's a hybrid ceramic wash and wax. This one you're going to find in the bright orange bottle. It's a unique two-liquid system together in one bucket that delivers any results like you've never seen before. It's really, it's a really cool new product. It's a wash and wax all-in-one with that ceramic SiO2 additive to it, which is really good for these guys. So check it out. It's Meguiar's. They have a new hybrid ceramic solution for pretty much anyone out there. It's incredible water beating and protection and durability beyond traditional wax. It really is ceramic made easy. It's Meguiar's. Check them out at Meguiar's.com.
I have to say, I usually have it on my desk here, but I keep the little nano spray, the little bright green one.
Yeah.
And I spray my glasses with it. I clean my glasses. Yeah. I spray it on my glasses because I have like oily eyebrows and they smudge the top of my glasses and it dries me nuts and it'll smear all of my glasses and I got to change out these stupid towels like crazy. So I keep the mini bottle. I have one in my Porsche and I keep the other one usually on my desk. And I was just looking for it going, where is it? I can like hold it up and go here. Look.
Important disclaimer. He does take his glasses off before spraying the product. So,
Oh, that why my face is so shiny.
Yeah, right?
And so my dog's guys, that's why my dog licks my face, too. All right, I get it.
It's got that coconut smell, right?
Yeah, no, it's good stuff, honest to God.
You got
to
be careful with that stuff, pal.
Oh, yeah. Hey, there you go, pal.
That's right. We're going to work it in as much as we can, pal.
Hey, well, what happened to hey, buddy, old pal?
Charlie was trying to get me to revive Kimasabi, and I said, are you kidding me?
What do you think? That'll get you in trouble.
That'll get you in trouble these days, so, for sure.
Okay, guys. Little bit of normalcy felt like it fell back in our laps because of the Barrett Jackson doing their January auction last weekend, which was March. And it felt a little bit more like normal came back to us. But Matt and I went over there, and what was interesting was the fact that I've got to admit, from our standpoint being there, I'm sure it wasn't for Barrett Jackson, their benefit, or a lot of people who just wanted to attend. But Matt, didn't it feel good being able to like, jam around that place and scoot around to go look at a car or do whatever and be able to get there quickly because they only had 25% capacity on their attendance?
Yeah, it was kind of interesting. The last Saturday, their Super Saturday, definitely had some more people, but I don't know what the limitation was on people. But the entire town, not just Barrett Jackson, right? There was no RM, there was no Gooding, there was no Russo, there was, all the auctions. It wasn't a typical Arizona auction week. It was just Barrett Jackson. So many people that would normally come into town for the various auctions were not coming into town. And all the different states have their different rules on what you should be doing or how you should be flying or what. So, that was somewhat to be expected. Yeah, it was a lot easier to get around that salon collection. And the cars outside, instead of just the big tents and rows of cars, it was where you normally have car, car, car. The car in the middle was missing. So they were separated. It was car, then a parking space, and then car, and then a space.
They were socially distanced.
They socially distancing the rows of cars. Which meant that there was arguably half as many cars on the docket than in previous years. But as we'll get into, they
you
ended
didn't
up
have 200,000 to spend. You didn't get a car hardly.
Oh my God. They ended up doing $105 million in total sales. They They did 90 world records cars that were sold. And just so I have some of this information in front of me that I'm correct, there was, I believe, $95 million in car auction sales, you know, typical car auction sales. I think it was 4.4, something like that. 4.4 million in memorabilia and 5.8 million in auction cars, which auction cars, of course, all that money goes straight to the
charity auction cars.
Charity cars.
Yeah.
Charity cars. All that goes to charity. There's no fees involved for Barrett Jackson on that one. 5.8 million. And there were some pretty big dollar charity cars.
There were, but before you move to that, I did a quick calculation that I found really interesting because we sat up there and we were looking at the auction happening and we're mentioning how almost every single car I felt was going for $100,000 or more. I mean, literally. And
except the Isettas. Except the Isettas.
Well, I don't think the Isettas were cheap either. I sent them to you. They were not cheap.
Yeah. And I was sitting there, I'm going, there's hardly a car. And I stayed every night except for Saturday. There were still 20 cars to go, and they were still going for $200,000 and $300,000. So I said, I want to do a calculation. So in 2020, they sold 141 million in total sales, and they had 1,900 vehicles. To what you said, Matt, almost half the vehicles this year. This year, 105 million with 1,054 vehicles. So when I extrapolate that out, the average sale in 2020 was 74,210 and some change versus this year, the average sale, are you ready? 99,620 and some change. Yeah. So us sitting up there and thinking that every car was going for $100,000 or more was almost to a T. Those damn motorcycles from that Winkler collection brought their numbers down.
Yeah,
it was funny. I saw our buddy Bader bought he bought a CB. He was all excited. He's texting me going, I think I'm going to buy this. What do you think? And what do you think? He was texting me all these motorcycles going, what do you think about this one? There was a Norton. Well, oh yeah, Norton. He's like, what do you think about this one? And then what's with all the mini bikes? There was like 100 little. Oh my God, Joe Patrali must have been in heaven.
But dude, those Trail 70s, those modular aluminum Hondas going for like 10, 12, 15,000 bucks.
Whoa. It's,
and that's been happening at other auctions as well.
Yeah.
It's amazing. These mini cycles are what guys wanted growing up. Now they can afford to pay way too much for. And
they're hot. I see them all the time on Craigslist. And, you know, our other friend, Joe Petralia, he's been running this mini bike thing for a couple of years now. I think he got a little ahead of it, you know, and he's been just killing it with those things, man, doing all kinds of build offs. And it's a whole movement. They're hot.
They are. Yeah. And like you were saying, Aaron, Bader, our friend Bader, he usually deals exclusively in Broncos and he'll bring three or four at every auction. You thought he was kicking himself in the butt about the motorcycle. He was dying up there. He's going, oh, the one time I don't bring any Broncos, you know, and they were going for. Matt, did you see a Bronco go for less than $200,000?
Oh, my God.
Well, there were a few, but they weren't even that great. But
yeah, exactly.
140, 145, 160, 150,000, 150,000. And look, they were fine. Like, you know, somebody was taking a Bronco, picking them up for whatever they are these days. I don't know, 30 something thousand bucks, maybe putting some money into it, you know, making it look pretty good. Some crate engines, some just rebuilt engines. I'm guessing a lot of these guys were into these vehicles for about $100,000, you know, maybe 110, and they were all getting 150 basically. So there was profit to be made for sure.
There were like, some, it was a business. 300. If they had,
some of them were getting really big. And the K5 Blazer, you know,
the only guy I think that got a true deal who stole a car at that auction was Kevin Hart.
Oh,
he's the only guy who just walked away with a virtual steal. You know, yeah, that. So,
Kevin Hart was there with his plastic cup boys. Yeah, the plastic cup boys. That's the name of his crew. And they've got a show coming out. They've got a car show coming out on Motor Trend. We've actually got into this a little bit. I mean, everybody keeps saying, oh, I hope he doesn't wreck that one too. Yeah, he wasn't driving the first time on the Speedcore car that got wrecked. And I spoke to the Speedcore guys several times because they're doing cars for Goldberg. And they're saying, you know what? Kevin Hart is great. And he's learning more and more about the cars. He's got a lot of passion for them. He's got an eye for detail. And as these builds go on, he's really figuring out what he wants. So we were told that Kevin Hart was there with his crew. They looked at a lot of cars and he wanted to buy up a couple of vintage Corvettes. Brad, what was he buying? 59?
59 Vet and a, yeah. I believe a 67. But the... Ah.
Good years.
That's a guy that dropped $1 million, over $1 million.
Yeah. So what he was buying is Kevin Hart likes hot rods. He, you know, the Speedcore cars that he had built, these weren't numbers matching Corvettes. These were full on.
They're pro touring cars. Hot rods. Yeah. LS motors.
Real just pro touring cars, you know, engine swaps, you know, whatever, Roadster shop or Morrison chassis underneath. Like these were expensive, but I don't know what happened. Listen, Brad and I were sitting up there watching these cars going for $250,000-$300,000. These these resto mods all day long, $250,000 or more. And Kevin Hart bought one for like $350, and then this other one came up, and I don't know. He loved it. Somebody else loved it, I guess, in the room. And they bid this thing up to $750,000.
$825 with the, you know,
with the fee. Yeah. Fees. Yeah. The hammer was $750.
There were three guys bidding.
Crazy.
Up. There was one down in the front row, one up in the, what they call the VIP box, not where we were in the Craig Jackson box, but that one over by the muscle lounge. And it was bing, bing, bing. And before you knew it, Matt and I looked at each other when it was 6.25 and we're like, huh? You know, and when it got up there, it just was like craziness.
Do you know anything about the car? Who built the car? I mean, was there a name attached to the builder?
I don't recall
seeing it. It was a 59 Corvette.
Oh, so this was a Corvette. Wow. Well, hopefully he uses it in a movie and gets a write-off.
Well, he's going to be using his TV show and everything else. And I'm sure the company bought it. Yeah. But yeah, I'm sure it's all worked out. But it was pretty, I don't know though, but it was kind of, I don't know, what would you say that color was?
It was ice cream mint. It was like a mint green.
With like a tan interior, I think.
I mean,
don't get me wrong, it could have a $150,000 paint job and just be absolutely stunning.
Yeah,
don't know that it was $750,000 stunning. Wow. I don't think it was that much. If that was another car, Brad, that you and I saw go for $300,000 or $350,000, we would have been like, damn, somebody just made money on that car.
Exactly. Right? Somebody just got very wealthy off of, car. It was, that was just, and it's all over the internet.
Good for them. You know? If Kevin's happy and the seller's making money, it's all good. That's
what I'm saying. Like, it seemed like. Yeah,
that's the auction world, man. That's why I don't buy at auctions. You know, at least those kinds.
DuPont Registry had a headline that said, Kevin Hart spends a mint at Barrett Jackson, which was, that was good.
But you wrote that line, right, Brad?
Yeah, right.
I wish I had, but I didn't.
Wow. Well, I'm really bummed I didn't get to join you guys. I did. I was getting over a little cold and we're almost there with the puppy. We're almost crate trained. He slept all night last night by himself downstairs. So, but there was just no way. But man, I was so bummed. I really wanted to see Ant and see his car go across the line because I'm in love with that little Tipo, and I'm really happy that he did well on it. I don't know if that's what he wanted, but I think that's close to what he wanted.
He was very happy with that.
Good
number.
For him. Yeah, good for him.
He told us that he was very, very happy with what he got.
Yeah.
I got to be honest, guys. I thought he was going to get a little more with
yeah.
what the cars were going for. and
yeah,
the enthusiasm, you know, for him and everything like that. I actually thought he'd get a little more, but when I walked to him, up to him, when you and I were talking to him, Matt, and he said he was over the moon is what he said. And I'm like, great.
Yeah.
You
know?
So he said he met the buyer and they had a great chat and walked through the car. And the guy was telling Ant, he's like, you come back anytime you want it. You want to drive it. You can come over and you can drive it. So Ant was like, I get to drive it anytime I want. And I made $100,000. Yeah. So he was just having a fun time with the whole thing. And he's busy, you know, he's busy. He's got four shows in the works right now.
Yeah,
I think some of them are like limited series, like a four part or an eight part episode kind
still,
of thing.
Man, he's killing it. Good for him.
So he's doing well. He was very happy how that car turned out. And, you know, and it was good. He's going to be doing other stuff like that in at least one of his shows that's coming up. And I think he's got another type of build show that's coming out. I don't want to talk too much about it because I don't know how much is out there, but expect some cool stuff from him.
Oh, I'll tell co-hosts and then we'll just decide whether we have to edit it out later or not. Okay. Wait a minute. Let's wait and see what kind of we'll show accuracy by how many lawsuits we get from the network.
A word from our friends at Geico. Maybe you own your home or you rent your home. Either way, it can be a lot of work. But you know what's easy? It's bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. And that's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home already. Just go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you can save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Yeah. All right. Then we'll know if we're on point or not.
Let's say the word Eleanor 25 times in our show.
Yeah, right.
That Corvette, by the way, I was looking at it while you were talking, Matt, has an LT1 direct injected 6.2, 460 horsepower, backed up by a 4L75E automatic, and Art Morrison chassis with C7 Corvette suspension, fully adjustable. Strange coilovers, Wilwood brakes, 6-piston, all the way around with 14-inch rotors, a Rick stainless tank, you know, Teflon lines, GM wiring harness. You know, it's, you know, pretty nice.
It is a good-looking car.
Yeah.
It's a good-looking car. And yeah, even that color.
It's nice.
It is. It's a real silvery mint, but it isn't like an obnoxious mint. It's a real kind of it's a real classic color for that era, but it's lighter, you know, it's more silvery. It's
they
really
gave it more pop.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
It's, yeah. And it goes really well with Kevin's pink sweatshirt.
I know he was trying to be low key there. He wanted to blend into the crowd. You know, he didn't want anybody to recognize.
It, definitely some Hello Kitty colors and that interior. It's almost more of a parchment. I think that's kind of the color. It's a parchment. It's in between
buttercream. I call it a color that you have a very hard time keeping clean.
So, yes, 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 yes.
So let's talk about some of the other cars that went, because we saw, you know, yeah, that was extraordinary what he paid for it. And, you know, he's, for him, probably not, you know, a guy who's doing movie after movie and, you know, deal after deal. You see him on every commercial. That was probably not that big a deal for him. So let's talk about the guy who paid $330,000 for a LS6 Chevelle, a 70 LS6 Chevelle.
Yeah.
And that car had provenance. It had all the documentation. It showed it was a real LS6. It was like that charcoaly blue with a black interior. It was all original. It was beautiful.
Wow.
And, okay, I'm not that surprised by that, because LS6 Chevelles have always been going in the twos, the mid twos. What I am surprised is I counted four additional pro touring Chevelles that went for $275,000 to $295,000. And one of them that went for $275,000, I said, I got to walk down and look at this car, because I didn't see why somebody paid that much for it. And I got to tell you guys, this is what we're seeing now. And it's not a bad thing, but you just got to, you know, as us being on here and telling everybody about it, we want to know more. So I walked down and this car had impeccable bodywork. It had a straight as an arrow, perfectly shined, not an imperfection black paint job. The body gaps were beautiful. And then I start looking at the trim, because as we know, some of the aftermarket repop trim doesn't quite line up. Yeah, this looked right. Like it might have had the real trim redone because everything fit perfect. But that's Other than that, it was bone stock. It had Wilwood brakes, but they weren't big six pistons. They were four piston with 12-inch, you know, rotors.
Yeah.
It was a bolt-on coilover kit. It was, you know, they dropped an LS motor in it. So realistically, they bought it because they wanted to have a car that they could drive away in and enjoy it right away. And they paid a premium for it because they certainly didn't buy because it was mini tubbed and had a Morrison chassis and, you know, all that stuff. Because quite honestly, any good body shop and a mechanic could put that car together. And it wasn't rarity that they were buying. So it's interesting to see where the market's going, because at the same time, I stayed late on Saturday to watch a 427 COPO numbers matching perfect Camaro, in every way Camaro, 69 Camaro with chambered exhaust. And it went way under the money for what they normally do, because it was
for the
very
Copo
late.
Camaro.
Yeah. And it went for, and guys, when I say way under the money, it still went for about 100 and probably with fees about $170,000. But those cars in the, you know, earlier in the docket and with all the bidders there probably would have been up in the $200,000 to $300,000.
Yeah. All the well done hot rods, you know, the muscle cars and stuff were doing well. You know, a couple of years ago, we were there looking at a Ring Brothers car go across the block for $250,000 to $280,000, going, my God, that's a lot of money for a resto mod. You probably would have sold them for $350,000 this past week. You know, you would have,
Didn't they have one?
Made some money on.
Didn't they have one this year?
A Ring Brothers?
No, but there was one on Bring a Trailer.
There was one on Bring a Trailer.
One of the modern Mustangs. That,
yeah.
But
I like their cars. They have cool cars.
Yeah.
But at the same time, people are opting away from numbers matching muscle cars, not altogether, but for things they can drive and enjoy. You know, it's put a chassis under it, put big brakes, put AC in it, and a big LS motor that you're not having to worry about, did the carb dry up or, you know, is it going to start this time? And you're constantly tuning it, or it's getting fat and you're, you know, fouling out the plugs, you know, with fuel injection and like that. And that's where the market's headed, I think. And, but the stars of the show, I still think were Broncos and the K5 Blazers. They went for huge money.
Listen,
what about Cobras? I saw that there was a lot of Cobras there this year. Were they original or mostly, you know, get Cobras? Or
the only one I can talk about is the Super Snake that sold for $5.5 million again. I didn't see that many go across. I wasn't paying attention to them, I guess.
Oh,
you know, the impressive car that, you know, as far as a sale, the impressive number was Craig Jackson's personal 65 Shelby GT350. He was on CarCast a couple of weeks ago, and he walked us through a little bit about that car. And it's an original Shelby GT350. It is not an R model. It is a real GT350, but not one of the really rare R models. So
R model being prepped for the racetrack, basically.
Right.
Yeah, but there's only a handful, and those, I don't know, they get like four times the money the regular GT350 does.
He would have got $2 million or $3 million for that?
And, well, his car sold for all in with the fees, $962,500.
Wow.
Right?
Wow.
Now, he did a great job on the car, and he's got the Triple Crown Award, which basically means 99% of the car needs to be like period correct or authentic, which means if he needed a rear end gear and he didn't have his original rear end gear, he needed to go find an original Shelby rear end gear, like something on the shelf at Shelby or another Shelby car. Like it had to be all real stuff. So it took him a long time to restore this car. He did a great job, but you know, I was even talking to, you know, friends from the Shelby family going, hey, you know, we kind of expected the Shelby Cobra Super Snake to pull about 5 million. They thought when Ron Pratt bought it years ago, he kind of paid a little on the high end for it, which was, I think, 5.5 million all in.
5.5 million.
And then they sold it again for 5.5 all in. And then Aaron Shelby was up on stage selling this thing. And, you know, it sold for 5.5 million all in. And they worked hard in that room to get that number.
Yes,
they wanted
did.
That $5 million number. Craig Jackson bid on it a couple times, but he did not end up winning it. And I was talking to Aaron. Aaron was like, yeah, that's kind of what we expected. Like, it's about as much history as you can get for a car like that without racing history.
Right.
You know, like if it was a Le Mans winning car, now you're getting right, into tens right. of millions of dollars. But so he still felt like that was kind of all the money for that car. But then Aaron said, I am super impressed and very happy about Craig Jackson's GT350. Like the respect that car got was phenomenal. Like he did a great job, but I mean, don't quote me on this, but aren't Shelby's like 200,000, $250,000 cars?
Yeah. But Matt, along that line, you know, when Craig was describing it, you know, they went to the nth degree. They went everywhere. I mean,
they had to.
The air cleaner filter element is new old stock, exactly like they would have pulled off the shelf that day. The spin on, you know,
the oil filter. Last remaining new oil filter.
It's new old stuff.
Wow.
And I've known guys over the years in my Chevy circles that are fanatical like that, that they, when they're restoring a Camaro or a Chevelle or a Nova or whatever, that they'll only use NOS parts and they will keep the boxes, you know, so that they can prove it was an NOS part they put on it down to the nuts and, you know, everything. And those are extremely difficult restorations because you can go out looking to find that spin on air, you know, that oil filter, and somebody's going to go, yeah, it's where else are you going to find one? You want to pay, you know, here's $600 oil filter. You know, I mean, it's crazy.
Let me ask you a question. And as much as this seems funny, I wonder what like validity there is. So in a car like that, that has to be that accurate, is the 99.9%, is it because you have to use contemporary oil, fuel, water, and air. The fluids,
pretty much. Vintage, but right? You don't drive that car. See, that's the thing. It's like,
no, because once you do, you've ruined all those parts. They're not, you know.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but I mean, in all curiosity, so you don't have fuel laying around. You don't have water. Like, well, you could find water at a military site somewhere, big containers of water, and put. But I mean, you know, the coolant's
new
always
stock gas in it, man.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, I've got vintage oil. I've got some castor oil from the 70s or early 80s, you know. So, you know, you could put vintage oil in it too, but does that count in that 100%? Or is it
that's
just
not
the
part of what they're looking at?
Oh, come on, man.
Where they might have.
Let's go all the way. I found some vintage water from 66.
Yeah, and probably brake pads. That's,
yeah, you know, I mean, because you're not going to drive them, obviously, and give up that last oil filter unless you put a different one on and then put that one on for the show. You
well,
know?
That's pretty much the extent of what you can do is you got to take off the wear items.
Yeah.
You know, like an air filter, an oil filter, fuel filter, things
plugs.
Like that. Yeah.
But one of the things from being around this type of restoration in the past. And even my Vega, my Baldwin Motion Vega is a good example because it's all original. It's not all original with those air cleaners and stuff, but when you do those, they also deteriorate because when you do them correctly, there's parts that, you know, when we're building a car, you know, we'll powder coat something to protect it or to make it look nice. But a lot of these, you know, oh, this part was left cast iron with no coating on it. Well, it looks great for a short time. Then it starts to corrode. And, you know, my Vega's got parts on it that have started to corrode because they were left, you know, the way they were supposed to be. And, you know, it doesn't last. And that's part of the problem with a nut and bolt perfect restoration.
Man, well, that's the type of thing that you got to put it in a bubble.
He got to
keep it that way. I would never want a car like that. I mean, I love that people are doing this, but I would never want a car like that. I wouldn't want anything like that. The responsibility would be tough.
Well, and we've talked about it here on the show too, that I've seen arguments between guys because when Craig was doing this, think he had to resource guys that actually worked at Shelby and said, okay, where would I get this part? Think about it. If one of them worked there in 19, whatever, what are we talking, 65 or whatever, you know, and one worked there in 66. Well, in 65, they were doing it like this, but in 66, they were doing it like this. And I heard a heated argument once on a a Corvette, where the guy, he was looking under the car and the chalking marks that identified the gears or whatever, they were upside down. And the guy said, we did that because at the time when they were making them, they were assembled upside down, went down the assembly line. So all the chalk marks were written when the car was flipped over, you know, when the frame was flipped over for the body to be assembled, the chalk marks were upside down, you know? Well, I heard these two guys, and one of them worked at one plant, one worked at the other. And as it turned out, they learned something from their argument. That at the one plant here, they did it that way. But at the other plant, new technology was coming in where they carried the frame and everything was assembled from below. And I mean, this is the kind of stuff where they're both right, but it depends on where the car was built. You know, it's crazy.
Yeah. Wow, that's really cool. I love that stuff.
I know. Well, I've got that 69 Z28 sitting in my garage waiting to be done. And the reason I'm going to, you know, do what I'm going to do with it is because at Bakersfield, if you don't have the original motor, there's really no way to prove it was a real Z28. But at the one back in the Midwest, there were certain date codes and certain things you can do. And then you can put another 302 in it and still call it a Z28. But if I can't prove it's a real one, you know, I'm going to butcher it all up.
Yeah, because the rest of mods are going for more money than the original cars.
Yeah.
Well, there's other Mustangs. What did you see as far as Fox bodies at Barrett Jackson, Matt?
I didn't see much, but I was out there for just a limited amount of time. I was out there for a day and a half, so I didn't actually even get to go out into the big tents and walk up and down all the aisles. I did the salon collection.
But, he was busy eating that 18-inch corn dog. You know, remember, Brad?
Yeah.
18-inch corn dog. He was busy eating one of those.
All that that giant turkey leg.
Hey, Aaron.
The Vector was interesting. The Vector sold for
Bring that up.
Yeah, so this was the Vector M12, I think it was. It's the 12-cylinder Vector with the Diablo engine in it, the Lamborghini Diablo engine in it. Only a handful of these were made. Interesting, though, because when you get up on the car, you're not surprised that it's a piece of shit, right? The build quality, the paint is wavy, you know, because the composite body pieces they made were not straight, and it was just painted. It's not like it's bodywork. But the car is pretty special, and it has a cool engine. I think the hammer price was somewhere around $175,000. And then immediately after it was a Diablo Roadster, which is basically the same engine. Yeah. And that sold for like $230,000.
Which seemed like a lot of money for that car.
It seemed like a lot of money for that car. I thought
people love their Lamborghinis.
I thought the Vector was way more special of a car. I actually think that car was a steal. It's a cool piece. It's not a quality piece, but it is a very cool piece.
Have you ever driven one of those?
No, I haven't.
We did all the wheels for those at Boyd's back in the day. we machined wheels.
I was gonna say they're so ugly. Did you?
And we saw them. they're the spaceship, man.
Yeah, they're wild.
And you see lots of odd things at Barrett Jackson. Like, you know, when you really get there and you look at stuff. And one of the odd things I noticed this year was the all black striped elite Ford GT that sold. We saw that one go for
A modern Ford GT, yes, not like the 05. Yeah. It's like a 17 or 18.
And it came with an enclosed trailer. And when I was leaving on Saturday night, the guys were standing there, and I think it was the guy who bought it. Because I think the guy who bought that was the Winkler who sold all his cars and his motorcycle.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. And he was standing there talking to a guy, and he goes, yeah, I guess he bought this trailer just to bring the car over here. And I got it with it because the guy didn't want to take it home. And I looked, sure enough, it had paper plates on the – like some guy went bought a $30,000 enclosed trailer to bring the car over and went, I don't want to take it home. So he just gave it with the car. And I think the guy was like – and what he said, what was funny was he said to the guy, he goes, I just sold all my cars. What do I need a trailer for? You know?
Wow. Yeah, yeah, those Ford GTs are awesome. When I was at Leno's one time, he asked if Dad wanted one. He said, I can get him like the last spot. You know, I can get him the last spot. And I told Dad, I said, come on, man. He's like, you know, I like the traditional, you know, I don't want that one. It's too, you know, and now he's going, cause it was a great price. You know, it was basically, you know, a Leno price. And, I'm so bummed he didn't do it because, you know, he's got that Ford GT, the white with the blue stripe, and it's such a cool car, and he's appreciating it more and more. And now that his knees are better, he's appreciating it more and more. And it's such a cool car, but man, that next generation is so beautiful.
He didn't do badly on that car. You know, your dad's car, Michael Anthony's GT, was an 05.
Yeah, they got up at the same time. Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you got anywhere at Sticker, anywhere near Sticker, I mean, those things for the past couple of years kind of leveled out around that 280 mark, 285, 290 mark. And they were pulling over 300 now. And one of them went for.
Just quit. Yeah. You're just pissing me off.
Yeah. Great.
Because Brad had an opportunity to get one.
Because you guys know the story behind those cars. I got them on the list. Yeah. I got both those guys on the list to get the cars. And Bob from Ford said, Brad, do you want us to put you on the list and get you one of the friend and family prices like them? And I could have done it. I could afford it.
Yeah.
I just went, I don't need another car right now. I'll buy one later. Boy, big mistake. Big mistake. Yeah. But we all
thought it was Steve Olgas who did he just receive
in
those?
Vegas, you mean? Ford? In Vegas? Yeah. No. See, the way it works is when they do that, it's got to go through an authorized dealer.
Right. Okay.
So they choose the dealer. Yeah. So there was the relationship already there, so we ran it through him.
Got it. Yeah, what a cool car. I've driven that car a few times, and you know, gas mileage ridiculous. The tank's this big. Visibility's you know, but drivability, it's a really user friendly car. You figure out how to get in and out of it without chopping your head off, it's a cool car, man. Everything just feels good. The tactile feel of everything is really nice, and everything has a bit of weight to it, you know, so when you flip a switch, you know, they're kind of an old style toggle, it has some weight to it, you know, that the gear shift, the knob is heavy, so when you shift in, you know, it plants, and it feels old school but really refined.
They're really cool.
I love the way that car drives, and it's just a pleasure. You can just take it and just go, you know.
Before we wrap up the show, Aaron, so how much of the coverage did you watch at home?
Zero.
Really?
You were supposed to be our eyes and ears.
I wanted to know how the TV coverage was now that it's on history.
You know, I'm bad. I just don't watch that stuff. If I'm not there, I'm that guy that, you know, I have such wonderful privilege in life. Like you guys, we get to do all this stuff firsthand. If I'm not there, fuck, I do not want to see it on TV. Cause then I just get wound up that I'm not there, especially if I'm home sick or something. Like, I could have been there for this fucking COVID. People, you sneeze and people freak out. It's allergies, you know. So I didn't watch any of it, but I just followed you guys and a few other of our friends who were there. And, of course, Bader was blowing up my phone. And, yeah, it was no, I didn't watch it.
Well, then I'm going to say, hey, to our listeners,
sorry.
If you watched it, let us know what you thought, because I'm interested to see, you know, I've heard some people say, you know, oh, I don't like the hosts as much and stuff like that. But let's not go there. I want to just know how the coverage was, because one of the things I noticed from being there in the past and this time, and you might have too, Matt, I didn't see as many camera crews running around. I didn't see as many, you know, jibs on the auction floor and stuff. So I'm really interested at how it looked on TV, because I haven't seen it.
Yeah. So. Yeah, you know, that's a good point, because we noticed that on Top Gear that we were saying, yeah, you know, some of the shots weren't. Yeah, because they had a limited camera crew for part of the new season. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see, you know, what that stuff does. If more drones are used, or more, you know, remote tether cable kind of stuff is used, or to get those shots. I didn't even think about that. Yeah, because they have pretty intense coverage. So,
you guys, let us know. Hit us up on social media at Shift Steer Media on both Instagram and on Twitter. We're also on Facebook at Shift and Steer. And I just stole your outro, Matt.
That's okay.
It's fine with me.
Matt, are you a little under the weather? Are you all right? Seem a little dry.
It's a couple days in Arizona. You come back and you realize it's 90 degrees and your lips are chapped and
your boogers, broad. Hard boogers in your nose.
And so I'm back, I'm home, I'm trying to hydrate. yeah. And then I'll tell you guys, I just did a post up on social media. Now you guys will see it pretty soon, but I swung by right before I got on a plane. I swung by the guys over at Fat Fender Garage, and they build these really cool hot rod trucks that do a lot of Ford stuff. I spoke with them. They're going to be doing the rear suspension on my Lightning. But being able to just walk around their shop and see what they're building is pretty cool. Pretty cool stuff that they've got going on in there. And
C10 Nation?
yeah, well... These guys do a lot more Ford trucks than anything else. So
they've been around forever. Yeah.
It was good.
This is some nice stuff.
Yeah, they got some pretty nice stuff.
Whoop.
That's it.
You know, I apologize. None of these are all Fords. They're all Fords.
I was gonna say it's about as opposite of C10s as possible. And you guys just froze.
Yeah, no, I'm so sorry, guys.
You guys just froze up for a second there. We lost a little bit, but well, let's wrap it up. Matt, you just said you did a post. Where can they find that post?
Yeah, check it out at Moderator on Instagram and Facebook.
Aaron?
You can find me at home sitting on the couch with the dog and a respirator. Aaron Hagar all over the place in the Rat Runner's Garage online with the website. And yeah, you know. Not much.
You can find me on Instagram mostly at Bradley_Fanshawe, pal. Well, it doesn't have the pal. I'm going to start a new Instagram called Pal.
Pal.
All right, pal.
Cool. Thanks, guys.
Just a bunch of beans.
I had a guy walk up to me at Bear Jackson, and he goes, hey, pal, good to see you here. I was like, nice. All right, guys.
Cool.
We'll be back next
week. Great to see you.
Thank you very much. Good seeing you. Hope you feel better.
Get hydrated, Matt.
Stay hydrated, Matt.
If you like this show, also listen to Man Seeks Adventure and Dixon's Wild Ride. You can find Man Seeks Adventure at manseeksadventure.com.